There is one thing that I wanted to let people know about before we get into everything else in today's show, and that is a meeting that is taking place at 4 o'clock this afternoon from 4 to 6 at Brannigan Library. That will be hosted by El Paso Electric. And if you have not heard or read, they are requesting a 73% rate increase, which would amount to $15 a month once it is fully not put in all at once, but once it is fully in place, that would be an additional $15 a month in the bills of consumers. And I don't want to get into a big, long thing on this. We'll have guests in, and they can talk about it better than me. But this is just one more of so many examples where New Mexico government makes me crazy, because all of our laws are designed for 100, 120, 80. So the way that we do electric rates in New Mexico is entirely based on investment. So there is no incentive at all to save money. The electric company, and this goes back to a time where there were vast swaths of the state that had no electric, that had no power. And so to incentivize companies to come in, we have this rate system where they get paid entirely based on how much they invest. And so El Paso Electric's argument is we've invested $400 million in the system between now and 2020 and now. And so we're entitled to this 15% increase. And it just drives me crazy.
How much of the investment that they've made is actually impacting New Mexico as opposed to El Paso?
Oh, I think it's all New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that part's legit. But it's just such a crazy way to set rates. I understand why it made sense 80, 90 years ago. I don't understand why we never change anything in this state. So that is coming up. Once again, that is going to be 4 to 6 o'clock at Brannigan Library, where El Paso Electric will be trying to defend why it needs to get another $15 a month from our pockets.
I just wanted to do a little public service announcement this morning to say, if you are coming down off the East Mesa trying to go in the direction of El Paso or NMSU, avoid the junction of US 70 and I-25 because it is closed.
Oh.
The ramp to go to El Paso is closed, and it's not signed. So I saw a lot of people get shunted in the direction of Doña Ana and have to go all the way up there and turn around, myself included.
Okay.
So if you can find an alternate route, do it.
Well, that is good. Yes, that is news you could use, as they say.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on there and why. Who knows why they wouldn't put signage up and let people know. But
yeah, I saw people crossing over the median also on the highway, which is very dangerous.
Well, I always love it. We can do a little traffic report in the morning. Maybe get somebody in here to do the weather. And I know you wanted to talk about Heath Hausman's latest reporting on Project Jupiter.
Right. Well, there was an article that was published in the Santa Fe New Mexican, and then Heath Hausman researched into it a little bit more. And what has been revealed is that Project Jupiter is apparently going to be using a lot more water than was originally projected. That the water that was agreed to is just to serve one sort of charging of the cooling of the plant, and then whatever water is needed by the people who are going to be working there, so like drinking water.
Sure, which
and
is
such.
Negligible.
But there's also going to be a requirement for 325 million gallons of water per year to cool the gas generators that Project Jupiter is building in order to power their plant. The gas generation plants have a lot of externalities associated with them that really were not revealed at the time that the public was made aware of Project Jupiter. So just to start with the 325 million gallons of water thing, we already know how dry it is in southern New Mexico. And what they're saying about it is that they have purchased water rights from a private entity, Santa Teresa Capital LLC, which used to be a sod farm. And because it is a private entity purchasing from another private entity, it apparently is not regulated, but that is a lot of water, and it is definitely going to have an impact. And this is the first that people are really hearing about that aspect of it.
Well, not only that. I mean, one of their great big selling points was this was going to have a closed-loop system, and this is brand-new modern technology. So you can't compare us to these other plants that are using all of this water, because we're going to have this new system that they don't have, and it's going to be a fraction of what they use. That's what they sold us on.
A couple of things about closed-loop systems anyway is that you can't infinitely keep using the same water. It needs to be recharged. And then you have to figure out what to do with the water, you know, the very concentrated chemicals that you have in the water at the end. They have to be released somewhere or scrubbed somehow. And I didn't hear anything about how it was that they were planning to do that. They just sort of like floated over that aspect of it. So,
no, they just, you know, new technology will solve everything. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're selling us on. But anyway, originally they were telling us it was used what, and what has that been increased to?
Originally, I want to say it was something like 60,000 gallons of water per year. And then 20,000, I think 1,000, to charge the system initially. Now it's 325 million gallons of water per year.
So from 80,000 to 325 million.
Right. In addition to that, my consulting engineer, as I have decided to rename my husband, was reading the applications for the gas generation plants, and apparently they are going to entail between 4 and 7 large sort of smokestacks that are 140 feet tall and 24 feet in diameter, and are going to be putting into the air about 14 million tons of pollution each year. So it's going to be very dirty as a result of this.
If I remember, their argument is it's not regulated. It's a greenhouse gas that will make climate change worse, but it's not a pollutant in the same way that it gets into your lungs and you can't breathe. I think that's their argument.
Aye. I don't know, like, whether that is true or not in terms of how much it will impact individuals, but I will say that 14 million tons is a lot of pollution to be
that's fair.
Emitted into the air.
We could all agree on that, I would hope.
Yeah. And, you know, AI data centers are specifically seeking out areas where they can build things where they don't think they're going to get a lot of pushback because these are socioeconomically disadvantaged areas or places that are very attracted to the idea of employment. Even though the number of jobs that are associated with these AI data centers is vastly exaggerated. So.
And that's there. We have that reputation for a reason. We have the nation's only transuranic nuclear waste storage site.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted really, really, really badly to expand on that and to bring all of the nation's nuclear waste to New Mexico. We've got uranium tailings just in mounds in, you know, the native lands. I mean, we have been the nation's dumping ground, and so there's a reason why people have the feelings that they do. I mean, there's a long, long history of well, and I haven't even mentioned Trinity site.
Right. So we're where you come to dig things out of the ground, dump things, or shoot things off.
Yes, yes, and it's because we're poor and because people need the jobs and they're desperate. And so, yes, all of that is true. Do we have
a call?
Oh, we have a call. Let us take just a minute to get the headphones on. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi, this is Mary Martinez-White, and I just wanted to let you know about an exhibit that will be in Albuquerque entitled Nuclear Past, Present, and Future, Art in Action, and it's relevant to the discussion today.
Thank you for telling us about that. Can you say anything else about the exhibit?
Yes, this is part of the Tularosa Basin Downwinders Consortium initiative to help folks remember that what has happened in the past can happen again. And of course, New Mexico was the location of the first atomic bomb. Walt was just talking about the storage of nuclear waste in New Mexico. We have this history in New Mexico that is such a difficult one, but we have to turn and face it head on because we know this has happened to us in the past and it can certainly happen again. As far as Project Jupiter, we can turn and point to, look, don't tell us that contamination does not happen. Of course it does. And we're currently living in the aftermath of the first atomic bomb, which was detonated right smack dab in the middle of New Mexico. And so that's what this exhibit is about. You may recall that in 2023, we did one at the Brannigan Cultural Center. This one will be probably five times larger, encompassing the majority of the museum, the Albuquerque National Hispanic Cultural Center Art Museum. The opening is on Friday, this Friday, April 10, and the exhibit will be up until January 24, 2027. It's going to be a huge exhibit. The opening on Friday, this Friday at 5 o'clock, is going to be pretty epic, so we hope folks can make it. But if they can't, the exhibit will be up the rest of the year.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for letting us know, Mary.
Thank you so much.
And have a great day. Yes, so that just fits in perfectly with what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Any more about Project 2? Oh, I did want to say one thing. I made this point before, but it is disappointing to me that there are only two county commission seats that are up for re-election this year, and neither of those two commissioners are going to run for re-election. And so Shannon Reynolds is running for assessor. So we still get to ask him questions about this, but it's not the same as running for the seat in which he made that decision. And, you know, Christopher Saljo Hernandez is not going to, face the voters. And I get it. If I had made that decision, I probably wouldn't either, but I wouldn't have made that decision in the first place. So that's just frustrating that, can make what seems to me to be such a reckless decision and then just walk away with it and, that walk away from it, I should say, and not go before the voters and defend your decision.
I wonder what the prognosis will be or what the projection is with regard to, now that people are starting to learn more about this, whether the New Mexico Environment Department or the land commissioner will intervene in various ways. Because I know that, like, about a week ago, there was a decision to not allow a gas pipeline, and that's probably really important to Project Jupiter's plans. But on the other hand, I kind of thought they weren't supposed to start moving earth around until they had been completely permitted, but I've heard that they are, so.
You're exactly right. I mean, in the past, that is how we have stopped these kinds of things, is in the permitting process and in the bureaucratic. The only thing I worry about is they have so much money. I mean, on vast scales, we've never seen anything like this before. We've never seen anything close to this before. And you can just buy a lot of favorable decisions.
True. And the governor has been very supportive of AI data centers for reasons that I can't really understand.
That's a very good point, but she will be replaced. We've got elections coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
But you're exactly right. As long as she's in office, how much will they try to gum up the works? I don't know. Maybe there are some rogue people in the, departments who don't agree with her on that. I suspect there are. I mean, they're filled with environmentalists. So that could be interesting watching how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I you're absolutely right. I think people are going to fight against this and should fight against this at every regulatory step along the process. That's the only way you slow it down.
Right. I think there needs to be more publicity around when public comment sessions are being held. And people should not underestimate the impact of doing things like filing a protest, because it does seem like those protests cause the state entities to have to respond by,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain steps that they are required to by law to take. And, mm-hmm. I agree with what they're – one of the things they're trying to get them on is a violation of the open meetings law. And there's part of me said, why waste your time? Because our open meetings laws are so weak that even if you prove they did that, all they have to do is come back in an open meeting and take the exact same action and they've rectified the problem. But I think you got to try to throw sand in the wheels every opportunity you get. And so, yeah, in this case, I support it, I think.
Yeah, I would love to know what it was that the commissioners were told privately about this, or what sort of promises were made that the public didn't hear. So,
well, I don't know. This is just my best guess. Mm. The money is head spinning.
Yeah.
It is. And they got the, you know, timeshare pitch. Buy now or you'll never get this chance again.
Yeah, it was like, if you don't decide by September 29th, we're going to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
I think at that point, the right thing to do is say, okay, go somewhere else. I think that was that was on the same level of hyperbole as other things that have been going on this week.
And I hate
news.
To say that, but it just feels like we got bigfooted.
Yeah.
Like these people came in here and our public officials got dazzled and, you know, forgot who they were representing. It just seems like.
There are lots of times when people come into Southern New Mexico and make promises that end up not working out. Have we talked about Project Pegasus when they were going
to? I'm not even sure if I'm familiar with Project Pegasus.
They were an entity, a kind of sketchy entity that was going to build a smart city.
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah, so that ended up, you know, being a nothing burger also.
Right. That the whole idea was that it would be like this test city.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And once again, dazzling amounts of money that they were floating around.
Yeah.
And that never materialized into anything. I forgot about that one. So, yeah, we've got a history. And there's a reason why people, you know, come here for this kind of stuff. You know, they're not going to my original hometown of Denver and trying to pitch them on it.
Right.
You know, so I guess you resist. I don't know what else you do. I did want to talk just a little bit. We're down to our last few minutes about what is happening on the other side of the world.
Sure.
Like I said, if you haven't heard, the president backed down. There is what is being called a 10-day ceasefire. But if you listen to the press conference with Pete Hegseth and General Kane, I believe, today, it sure sounded for all the world like we were declaring victory and going home, which, yay, that's a good thing. But my goodness, what an embarrassment and what a costly. I mean, 13 lives, obviously, at the start of that list.
And then $1 billion a day, apparently, to prosecute this war that didn't need to happen. So
it absolutely did not need to happen. And we are leaving in a weaker position than. And yes, there's all this bluster about, look what we blew up. Okay, we can blow things up. We always do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray for us. We're leaving them in control of 20% of the world's oil.
Right.
We weren't in that situation when we started this.
No. The Strait of Hormuz was open before. And we also, I think, incurred a moral injury,
yes,
all of
we
us.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
By
yes, we did.
Having the President of the United States say, you know, a civilization is about to be destroyed and never come back from that.
Yeah, this crazy talk.
It is.
It's a madman. He's talking like a madman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I mean, before this, it was an embarrassment, but now it's an embarrassment. It's a humiliation. And I am not convinced that he doesn't wake up tomorrow and change his mind.
Well, right. I think the evidence shows more and more that he is impaired in terms of his thinking from day to day, and very changeable in terms of his temperament and his mind from day to day. And a lot of people who might have kind of put up some guardrails in the first administration are gone and just replaced with yes people. And
even worse than yes people. Let's go. Pete Hegseth is not, I'm going to go along with anything you say. Pete Hegseth is, let me lead you to this place that, you know, I know your worst instincts want to take you.
Exactly.
And so, yes. And that the other thing that has, in speaking of Pete Hegseth, incredibly concerning to me is the religious defense of this war.
Yes. It has been presented as a crusade.
Yes.
A crusade, a religious crusade. And that combined with the way in which we're starting to see this normalization of the promotion of one religion, like on government, social media, it's very discomforting for somebody who is not a member of the sort of majority religion to keep seeing that. It feels very, I don't know, not just icky, but also this isn't the way that we're supposed to operate. And I don't even know who would be the person to go to about it. Like, do you have to file suit against the various different divisions of the government, all of which were promoting Christianity on their social media? Or do you just like smile and go along with it? I mean,
no, I think you have to file suit. Yeah. And thankfully, the courts, even to an extent, the Supreme Court have held up, and we haven't had that moment yet where the president has tried to. We'll see. Maybe the midterm elections will bring it. You know. Yeah, Oy is right. let's see. What do we got? 5 minutes left.
I will say the whole thing about declaring victory in the Middle East, the last thing that I heard was that the United States was working off of the points that Iran had provided.
That's correct.
And also that there does remain a major question about Israel's
that's more than correct.
Israel's participation in this so-called ceasefire, because they were bombing the heck out of Beirut this morning. They seem really still committed to what they're doing there. So
yeah, they absolutely are, and pretty good reporting in Washington Post, I forget which one, about just how influential Netanyahu was in convincing Trump that this is going to be quick, it'll be easy, we'll get in and we'll get out, it'll be historic, everybody will remember you, every other presidents have wanted to do this for the last 40 years, you're going to be the one who goes in and does it. Everybody knows how to flatter Trump and get what you want.
So
you're exactly right. Just because we leave doesn't mean that Israel stops, doesn't mean that Iran stops.
Right, and doesn't mean that the ceasefire even holds on if Israel happens to send missiles somewhere that the Iranians are not happy with. So the ceasefire holds for today, quote-unquote ceasefire, but I'm not sure how long it lasts, whether it'll be the actual 2 weeks.
And it would not surprise me at all to see us just pull out, go home and say, okay, we broke it, you guys deal with it. Because he's already done that with the Straits of Hormuz.
Right.
I don't understand why Europe doesn't come in and fix this.
Well, NATO is a defensive alliance. It's not meant for somebody to go charging in there and everybody else has to follow guns a-blazing.
And he is so transactional in everything. You know, they get their oil through the Straits of Hormuz, so it should be their responsibility, even though they had nothing to do with the fact that we caused it to get shut down.
No, or allowing Russian oil to move through, and just, I don't know, he's absolutely incomprehensible from one day to the next.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's see, we got a couple minutes. I see Minerva is on the phone. We one of our both of our guests in the next half hour are going to be phoning in. I did want to take just a minute before we wrap up to remind people once again that we have a survey at lccommunityradio.org that will be up, I think, just till the end of April, I believe is correct on that. And we want to hear from you, our listeners. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you want to see more of? What do you want to see less of? Once again, that's lccommunityradio.org. One other thing I want to let you know about that's coming up on April 24th, that is going to be Giving Day, as organized by the Southern New Mexico Community Foundation. More than 100 nonprofits are going to be participating in that, and we will be as well. And that is an online fundraiser where we will have an opportunity to earn as much as $500 in matching funds from the Community Foundation. So we thank them for that, and we will be letting you know a lot more about that as we get closer to the event.